We're on page 491, 492, we're in the middle of chapter 19.
Yes.
Yaltadeva asked a question. If it is that we call Moshe Rabbeinu the greatest of all prophets,
indeed,
and it's described that his understanding of Elokus, of godliness, was only up to the level of Netzach Hod Yisod in Malchus, of Atzilus, as it's manifest in Bria. So, and that's all he could relate to. So how is it that the likes of the Rashbi and the Arizal could talk about Chochman being a Das of Atzilus and higher than Atzilus and Ak and before Tzimtzum and Madregas before Tzimtzum? So he answered the question just at the onset. He's just starting the answer now, but he's going to, like the rest of the letter, he really goes into what that answer means, is that Moshe Rabbeinu saw it and they talked about it.
Yeah.
Having really no clue what it was that they were talking about. Okay? So you can imagine if that's the way it was with the Arizal, that the Arizal had really not an inkling as to what it was that he was talking about. He was just given this information.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how what we are when we're talking about it. Yes. Okay, so we are at the bottom of the page. Well, I think there's three lines from the bottom. We're on the next to last line. It starts Shehanehim. And this is actually the middle of a sentence because it was one of those massive three quarters of a page sentences which continues on to the next page. And so the idea that a chach, there's an expression that a chacham is adif nehanavi. A chacham is better than a navi. Okay? Because a chacham is able to relate to higher levels of elokus, but the navi is able to see what it is that they're able to see. Okay? Shehanehim shel ha'elyon mislavish v'atachton. What is it that a navi has? The nevuah, the level that we call prophecy, is what is it that every prophet is being privileged to, is Netzach Hod Yisod in Malchus of Atzilus. As it's, depending on the prophet, enclosed in Bria, enclosed in Yitzira, enclosed in Yisira, and Yisia, and Asiya. So, and it meaning to say, that what's the purpose of Netzach Hod Yisod in Malchus? I don't know if we went into this last week. But they are not, even though they're called, Netzach and Yesod are called from the six midos, they're not really midos, they're not emotions, but rather Netzach, which means charge, victory, go ahead, Hod, which means consistency, and Yesod, which means to be prepared, get everything all ready, and Malchus is a final action. They're really more actuators. They're what's taking what's up till this point been developed and preparing it to get put into action. As opposed to say chesed and gevura, chesed is an expression of a midah. It's the ahava of Hashem. Gevura is the yira of Hashem. Those are the pu'ulas thereof, the effect thereof, what they're able to do. Whereas Netzach Hod Yisod are saying, well, now that we have this, what are we doing with it? Let's try and do this with it. So all the prophets, their level of prophecy was to the level of actuation of godliness. Elyon mislavish batachton lahachiyosoi, to enliven it. Shehein hein kli hashpo v'hayredis hachayis mahaelyon latachton. That this is how it is that the godliness now comes down from the higher level to the lower level. B'chol ha'olamos, in all the worlds. We're turning the page. V'hamadregos, and levels. Lachin gam kein hein hein hamisgalos l'neviim b'vuchinis hisgalos mamish. That's why it's possible that this level of Elokus could now come and actually be revealed to a prophet. That when a prophet says, God told me this, he had a revelation of Elokus such that he could describe what it was that was revealed to him.
Right.
And we talked about before in other letters, it talks about in other chapters, this idea of what does it mean that God spoke? And we're not going into that now, the different types of revelation and the difference between, say, Moshe, Yeshaya, Yecheskel, and Habakkuk. They all saw the same thing. They saw exactly the same thing. And Moshe described it as Yud Kei Vav Kei, as Metat, and Yeshaya described it as angels with six wings, and Yechezkel described it as a vehicle, a chariot. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Habakkuk described it as the wind blowing. Mm-hmm. Okay, he heard the wind talking to him. So all of these, it's the same thing, but they're different levels of prophecy that they were privileged to.
Right.
Ubetoichen melubash or habina, and within their prophecy was the light of Bina, understanding.
Right.
Okay, so that ultimately you would say what they were receiving was an expression of divine understanding. And you could say, but it's enclosed in this, and it's enclosed in that, and it's a very low level, and by the time it got down to the Habakkuk, it was already so processed already. So this the Alter Rebbe answered in chapter 4 already. It doesn't matter how many garments it goes through. And he gave the example there of a king hugging you. Yeah. And you could say, the king put his arm around me. And someone will say, no, the king was wearing a big robe and he had all his fancy clothes on. It wasn't the king that was hugging you. It was the king's robe that was around you. Mm. So that's ridiculous. Because since it is that the king is inside the robe,
right.
So the king was hugging him.
Of course it was, yeah.
So in all of this, so now, you want to say that all these prophets only received a revelation of Elokus, so the lower type levels of revelation, but enclosed in that revelation was divine understanding. So therefore, they had an enclosed manifestation of divine understanding.
Right.
In other words, what they were conveying, what's being conveyed through the Torah and the Nevi'im and the Kesuvim, is divine understanding.
The point is, the limit was with them, not with Hashem. They comprehended all that they could probably.
Well, they're the ones conveying. That's true. They're the ones who are conveying it and trying to tell us
right.
what their experience was.
Yeah.
And in doing so, what we have these different books of the Bible that we sit and we learn them and we say, oh yeah, I understand this.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, you know, we talk about Hashem being enclosed, but the fact is Hashem was as revealed to them as they could take it.
Right.
Right. So, in other words, the limits on them, not on Hashem.
It's what Hashem wants. Yeah, for sure. But it's what Hashem wanted to convey.
Correct. Of course. Yes.
Because
if Hashem
wanted to convey chachma or ratzon or higher than that,
yeah, he could have
done that too.
Yeah, he could have. Of course, he could have. But whatever level we can get.
This is what the level of prophecy is.
Yeah.
Okay. Shehu b'vuchinas havanas elokus mo'arein se baruchu, which is understanding godliness. So what the prophets saw, what they grasped in their intellect, was absolutely Elokus. They saw the infiniteness of Hashem. Now, so you could say, but, you know, it's gone through all the processing, so how is it still infinite? Okay, so we can answer that the electricity that's coming out of the end of a 6-volt adapter that's plugged into the wall. Okay, if you put your tongue on the end of it, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna bite you.
Yeah.
That's not very much electricity coming out of that little pluggy thing there.
Plenty of current.
What?
Plenty of amps.
That's yeah.
Right. Plenty of current. That's
yeah.
Right.
So it's only 6 volts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So basically, it's exactly the same as the current, which is as is where it's been spun off from Fermi 2 when it's 50,000 volts. Okay, I wouldn't want to stick my tongue on the
you
Fermi
could,
2
once
per se. Yeah, and I start glowing really quick.
You wouldn't even do that.
Fry.
You wouldn't even do that.
I would just fry.
Make it.
You wouldn't. No, you'd be a puff.
Yeah. Right.
You'd be a puff.
That'd be an interesting way to go, but I'm not interested.
But it's
the same electricity. So these prophets did receive godliness. They received the infiniteness of Hashem. They got it through the various step-down transformers, the Tzimtzumim, so that they could convey what it was that Hashem wanted them to convey. But what they got, they got.
Yeah.
Which is the whole theme of this letter. And what's in Bina? So we've already said, and the way that the Alter Rebbe defines Torah, going all the way back to chapter 5, and he repeats it a zillion times from then to till now. The definition of Torah is Chachmasai v'ratzainai shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the will and wisdom of God. It doesn't say any place about the understanding of God. Here he's saying, what did they get? They got the understanding of God. Okay, so but that's not what Torah is. Torah is the wisdom of God. So he says, okay, in Bina, Bina doesn't exist in and of itself. Bina is not a self-standing, self-supportive entity.
No.
Chachma and Bina are called Trei Reyan Deloy Mefarshin. In the Zohar, they're described as being two friends that are never separated. There's an interrelationship between Chachma and Bina, which never ceases. Just in your own brain, ideas are coming up, and you're thinking about them all the time. Some you chuck out. Nah, I'm not thinking about that now. Some you think through. Now, in the Seder Histalshalus, the way that it works is that the lower part of the higher level becomes the higher part of the lower level, like
right.
a chain.
Right.
The bottom of the link, the bottom of the top link, intersects and becomes in the middle of the top of the bottom link.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's an infinite distance between.
We're talking between Chachma and Bina, so they're right next to each other.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Okay. So Chachma and Bina. So Bina, in order for Bina to exist, Bina could not exist were it not for the germinating spark that Chachma provides.
Right.
And likewise, he's not mentioning it here, there's no point in having Chachma if there's no Bina.
Right.
You have this inspiration, you have this wonderful idea, you have this tremendous ta-da moment, then if there's no Bina, what happens? It dissipates. It's gone.
Yeah.
It just vanishes. All those good ideas that you thought you had, they're just gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bina is what stabilizes it. But what is Bina stabilizing? Chachma. So what is it now? So we just upped it a little bit, not a whole lot, because it's not Chachma, it's the external expression of Chachma as it is enclosed in Bina. When you're talking about the external aspect of Chachma, so you have it with every the Keli of the higher level becomes the Or of the lower level.
Right.
Meaning the vehicle for which by godliness is being conveyed on the higher level now becomes the Chayas, the vitality for the next level down. So when we say that what part of Chachma relates directly to Bina is the most external part of Chachma. That part of Chachma which is made to relate to Bina. Which we call it, okay, since we're talking in terms of spheres, it would be the Netzach HaYisrael Malchus of Chachma, of Atzilus, which can now relate to the Chachma Bina Das of Bina. Okay, and so Moshe, when his understanding of the lower levels of Atzilus, in that was contained divine Bina, which in that was contained Chachma. Okay, which we're up to now. Shehu Madrega Shelamayla Mahaseichel VaHavana, that this level of Chachma is beyond comprehension. Belakus Baruch Hu. So essentially, what all the prophets got were things that just they didn't make any sense, which is why all the prophets, except for Moshe, had to turn off their conscience in order to prophesy.
Yeah.
They fell asleep, they went into a catatonic state, they had some kind of an epileptic fit or a seizure or something like this, because their brain had to shut down.
Right.
Because what they were experiencing, which was something, ultimately, even on the lowest levels, even a person who was a Navi from the level, whose Nevuah, was only appreciated in the world of Asiya. What he was getting was a revelation of Elokus, which was beyond intellect.
Right.
Because of this whole creative process, ultimately, what he was getting was Chachma Vitzilus. The prophet was getting the highest levels of the Seder Istal. Shlus, okay, so went through the process. But that's what they were getting. That's where it was all coming from.
Yeah.
Because the word chachma is not comprehensible. Comprehension doesn't start till bina. The whole word bina means understanding. Chachma, which means before bina, there's no understanding.
Right.
So what it was that they absolutely, what it was that they really got, there's no way that they could convey it.
Yeah.
They could only say what their brain was able to tell their mouths to articulate. But the actual experience that they experienced
impossible.
Was beyond the ability to describe.
Yeah.
Okay, which is why it was so freaky, is because Freaky flipped out in terrorful, awesome or awful, as the case may be, is because they didn't know how to convey what it was. It was like beyond. It was like, I know there's something there, and I have no way to tell you what it was.
Right.
But this is what I got. Okay. And what they did get was as if they were looking at an entire sphere. They got this little arc on the sphere. That's, you know, trying to describe the whole big ball from just by looking at one little tiny arc on the ball.
Yeah.
That's why we say the Torah comes from Chochma, which is how do we get the Torah? We got the Torah through the various prophets. The 24 books of Tanakh are all conveyed through divine origin, Hashem speaking to the various prophets. And now it makes sense when the Zohar says that the Torah comes from Chochmah, even though you want to say what Habakkuk understood Chochmah. Habakkuk could tell us what was going on in Chochmah of Atzilut. No. But through the creation process, you had all the Chochmah of Atzilut in its entirety being conveyed to even Habakkuk, even down to this low level. Okay, so the Torah maintains its integrity, and the Alter Rebbe already said back in chapter 4, just like water flowing down a cliff, that the water on the top is the same water on the bottom.
Right.
The only difference is this is higher, this is lower. So the Chachma of Hashem, which is the Torah, up in Atzilus is exactly the same like down here on a piece of paper. It's exactly the same.
That's an ace.
Ki taimei hamitzvos lo nisgalu, heim lemaila mehasechel vavana. The Torah is derived from Chochmah. The mitzvahs, and even the rationale behind the mitzvahs, is not an expression of Chochmah. It's an expression of Ratzon. We call the, it's called in the Zohar, we had it a zillion times already, that the 248 positive commandments of the 248 limbs of the king, with the body parts being external extremities, which not like the Torah, which is called the intellect of Hashem, the intellect being an internalized faculty. So the mitzvahs are an external expression of Elokus. They're an expression of Ratzon. Bottom line, so when we sit and we study Torah and we learn about certain mitzvahs, and we could talk and talk and talk until we're blue in the face. And we have all kinds of books, and in halacha, you can have halachas on halachas on halachas on halachas. When I was in Australia, and I was sitting in Kerlil, so the Rosh Kerlil, the head of the Kerlil, who was not that much older than me, had an unbelievable ability of analysis, and he could take one paragraph in Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch and talk about it for 2 hours. Where I could talk about it for 3-4 minutes. He could talk about it for 2 hours. And I was able usually to follow it for about an hour and a half. The last half hour I was totally gone. I was cooked. It was just like, it was beyond. It was like, he just kept on going. And I'm not so sure that the only reason why he stopped was simply because it was mincha time. Because I think maybe if we had daven mincha an hour later, we would be in a 3-hour class. So the level of the Torah that we have, it conveys the divine wisdom of Hashem, but when a person puts on tefillin, And we're told all the things that are happening, all the different hamshachas, that we have Mayach Shalat Olev, that when Putterson puts on tefillin, it makes it easier for his brain to rule over his heart. And we have hamshachas Adalad Mayachin, we have Hashem, it's just like we have four batim, four compartments in the tefillin on the, that goes on the head. We have four compartments inside of our skull with four different parts of the brain. And that then becomes a receptacle for Hashem's four parts of Hashem's brain, so to speak, and we're able to think clearer than when we put on the tefillin, and if we did not put on the tefillin. And then it says that we take the effect of the tefillin with us a whole day, and that the tefillin are called the yiras called the fear of the nations. That non-Jewish people get scared when they see tefillin because of the godliness that's coming down, and there's stories about this, which we're not going to do right now because we've told those stories before. So even though we did that, so is that the reason why we put on tefillin? Bottom line? No. The reason why we put on tefillin is because Hashem wants it.
Right.
And Hashem didn't tell us the reason behind any mitzvah.
No.
That's why it says, when you're talking about the various different types of mitzvahs, so we know, for example, in this week's parsha, you have shatnez. Why do we wear shatnez? Why don't we wear shatnez? Is simply because Hashem said so. It's a chayk. We were not given the reason behind it, and we do it out of trust in Hashem. But we also have a mitzvah, for example, that you're not allowed. A person in business is not allowed to have unfair weights and measures. It's also in this week's parsha.
Right.
Why is it that we don't do? Why don't we possess unfair weights and measures? You can come up with all kinds of people pulling from here to today, but bottom line is, we don't know.
Yes.
It's just simply because Hashem said.
Right.
Which that does have positive and practical ramifications, because if it is that a person's not doing or doing something simply because Hashem said so, then it doesn't change.
Then I don't get to insert my morality.
There's no wiggle room to say, well, we'll redefine what it means.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, that's what happened in Nazi Germany.
Exactly.
That they redefined what does it mean to murder. Murder was never legal in Germany.
Nope.
Not before 1933, not after 1938, not 1945. Never. Murder was never legal in Nazi Germany. They just happened to redefine what does it mean, murder. If you kill this, if these type of people get exterminated, and you know, through government means and camps and whatnot, that's officially the auspices of the government. That's not murder.
No, that's not murder.
Okay, but if one of those inmates and one of those camps would have killed a guard, so he would have been guilty of murder.
Right.
So
there's a difference between social cleansing and murder.
I gather. So we don't understand the wisdom of, we don't understand the will of Hashem. Because will in and of itself, we don't understand our own will. Why do you want something?
Right.
We don't really understand it. Why do you like things, not like other things? You have no clue why it is.
It's an expression.
It's the way that you are.
Right.
Okay, so now Hashem wants us to be doing the mitzvahs. And then if we do get a place where a mitzvah is indeed explained to us, and we say, yeah, I got it. That's not the reason at all.
Yeah.
And if we can apply the expression, this is in chapter 4 again. In a place where you find Hashem's greatness, there you find Hashem's humility, meaning that if you can manage to say, oh, I got it, Hashem's really great, I can understand that, how great Hashem is, that is a very low level of Hashem that you understand is how great it is. So when we're given a reason that's not the ultimate reason behind doing that mitzvah, in that mitzvah, and in even that rationale that we're giving, is enclosed the will and wisdom of Hashem, but not in a way that we can appreciate it. If you'd be a Moshe, okay, you'd be able to say, oh, you know, yeah, that's, I got that. That's the chachma, that way I see it. The V'kein v'chol dibur v'dibur sheyatzim epi HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'nevim HaKasuvim b'Tanach. And so too it is with everything that Hashem told all the prophets, which is written in Tanach, hein divrei teichecha, hein sipuri maisius, whether we're talking about chastising, whether we're talking about stories, melubish v'teicha b'chines chachma alaku shelamayla mahasechel v'havana. Enclosed in it is the will and wisdom of Hashem, which is higher than Seichel Vahavana, which is higher than intellect. There is a story. It is a known thing that the Alter Rebbe had no patience for the Maskilim and the Haskalah movement. Anything which is going to pose any type of a contradiction to the true authenticity of Judaism, the Alter Rebbe was violently opposed to.
Okay.
Guy comes into town in Liozhna, and he's a Malamed. He's got a big beard, he wears a kapata, and he's got all kinds of references that he's been running these schools in Vilna, and he's got a letter from the Vilna Gaon saying what a great Malamed he is. And he would like to set up a school in Liozhna for the Alter Rebbe. So the Alter Rebbe interviewed him. I guess maybe they needed a school. And he asked him, how do you teach? He says, you teach Chumash to little kids. He says, yes. So he says, so Breishis you're talking about is being learned by a 7, 8, 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
How do you teach the story of Yehuda and Tamar to an 8 or 9-year-old? So Tamar is the Ar and Einan, what they're doing over there, you know, they're Dash Bifnim and Zara Bechutz, and then she dresses up like a prostitute, and there's a whole thing over there, and Mashiach comes out of it. He says, how do you explain that to an 8, 9-year-old? He said, I skip it. Because they're young minds, and they don't, you know, they'll get it when they're older, and they don't really can't understand this type of stuff. It's not appropriate for them. They altered up a thought for a second, and then said, "It's very apparent that your righteousness is merely just a garment for Haskalah." And he accused him of being. He put it on the table. Are you a maskil? Are you, like, purporting this? And the guy finally convinced, said, yeah, you're going to lie to the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe called in his meshoras and demanded that this man be beaten up and run out of town. And the Alter Rebbe sent letters to the big rabbis in Vilna and in Shklov, to the big strongholds of education,
right,
saying that this guy was nothing more than chazerfis, which a chazer was a chazerfus. What does that mean? A chazer has a pig has split hooves.
Right.
So when a pig is lying down, it buries its snout so that you shouldn't see that it doesn't chew its cud, and it stretches out its paws that you should see, look, I'm kosher.
Right.
So that's the expression chazerfus. And he eventually went back to Vilna, and the people in Vilna were so tainted that they did not listen to the Alter Rebbe, and he set up the major Jewish public school system in Vilna, which was operating under his guise and his philosophy until 1939.
Really?
Yes. Okay, so the elementary school and probably even like the Masiftas that were in Vilna were basically run under the Haskalah philosophy.
Really?
Yeah. So, which explains a lot of things, but we're not going to go into that now.
Ouch. Wow. That's dangerous.
That was the Haskapa practice you talked about before, where they,
mm-hmm,
they have whole schools that follow, but they don't really follow Haskapa practice like we.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
Hashem's involvement.
Yep. I mean, the whole idea of the Haskala movement was to modernize things and really take the take the holiness out of Yiddishkeit.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's really basically what they did. You know, so I've heard many, many rabbis say, you know, a guy comes into my Chabad house And the first question he asks me is, Rabbi, do you believe in God? Yeah. Rabbi Chabad says, yeah, of course. So he says, I don't understand, my conservative rabbi, it took him 20 minutes to answer that question. I have no idea what he said.
Exactly.
It's like breathing.
So now, so though when you're talking about the stories, so now why is it the Alter Rebbe, you got a seven-year-old who thinks that mommy and daddy got him from a store or wherever, they, you know, whatever he believes now at this, at this point in his life.
Right.
And we're going to teach him the story about Yehuda and Tamar. Why? Because it's Chachmasei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Davar Shebekedusha.
Right.
You can emphasize how Mashiach comes about in this roundabout way and why it had to come about. And there's ways of teaching it to a 7 and 8 year old such that they understand that it's really just Elokus.
Right.
Okay? And when it comes down to it, it's all just Elokus. So there, I stopped in the middle of the sentence, I'm sorry. V'hein sipuri ma'isis, whether it's a proof, whether it's a, excuse me, whether it's a story. Melubash b'teichem b'chinas ha'chokma elokus shalamayla ma'haseichel v'havana. There's enclosed in that an expression of Hashem's wisdom and understanding. K'nir b'chush b'inyan akriva k'siv. As you know, there's something called a kri and a k'siv. The kri is, you have words in the Torah that they're written one way, and they're pronounced another way. Hmm. The Torah is rife with them. There are zillions of them. So what does it mean when you're looking at this word and it's spelled one way and you're pronouncing it another way? You have, for example, in the Teichacha, I don't remember the words, not about Karab, but in the Teichacha and Devarim, you have a, you have kriyas and ksiz over there where the, it's a whole different word. It's not like a base or a chaf, something like that, or a hey at an end of the word, or a who, it's written who and pronounced he, that type of a thing. That's kind of, you know, you could get away with that. These are whole different. It's a whole nother word. So what does it mean? It means that there's basically two levels of pshat. There's two types, there's a higher level of godliness which is not being conveyed in the simple way. Hmm. Like he says, for example, Kia Kri Hulafi Havana Haniglus Lanu. You pronounce it the way that we're supposed to understand it. Okay? When it says, because it'll be that if it says who, and you pronounce it he, most likely, this pronoun he is modifying or referring to some feminine noun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you had it in last week's portion all the time. Ki tzaras, who or he? Okay, is the word tzaras or nega? Are they masculine? Are they feminine? So the things have to agree that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that's the way we see it. That's the way we interpret it because that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what makes sense. Vaksiv hilamayla ma'asechal v'havana. The way it's written doesn't make any sense. You have in Parshas Ki Tetzei, the third aliyah over there. You have the all the laws about a naira hamorasa, a woman who is raped. And in every single one of those times when it says the word naira, meaning young girl, it's spelled nar, young boy. Every single time. Okay? Not to say, under no circumstances are we talking about some guy raping a boy. That's not what it's talking about at all. Okay? So it doesn't make any sense that it should actually be spelled nun ayin resh and pronounced nun ayin resh hey. But that's the way it is. You want to make drushes about it? Because it's not to hate. Purim's in 10 months, too. Sheteva zu kikasiva ein lo levush v'vachinus havana. That the way this word is written, it just doesn't fit into intellect. Ubkriyasa bepe yeshlo levush. But the way you pronounced it, that makes sense. When you say this young woman gets seduced or got raped, that makes sense. Saying this young boy didn't. doesn't. Mekanian ba'isi is gedela shebetanach shehein ma'alma ilah u'me'iris m'sham gilei belilavush kishara isius. And then in the Torah itself, you have different size letters.
Right.
And why is it that you have 22 big letters and 22 little letters? What is to determine that the big letter is a big letter? As we know from Shar Yichud V'Amuna, that every letter is a cast mold,
right,
for the godliness to come down in a certain specific configuration.
Right.
That's all what it talked about in Shar Yichud V'Amuna, which we did already. You can, if you forgot, you can start listening on the website and catch up. So, 22 instances in Tanakh, there's a lot of godliness coming through this one, and it blows the letter up, it stretches it.
Right.
And so there's these big letters, now to make counterbalance, everything that's just the right, everything's all the same, and everything on average, it's all the same. There happen to be 22 little letters as well, which means that the godliness is coming down very little.
Restricted, yeah.
Yeah. You know, they say about on average. So it says if you, I heard this from a statistician, if you stick your head in a hot oven and your feet in a freezer,
yeah,
on average you're very comfortable.
Yeah, I see.
Variance is high, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the Hine. Hey.
That's the way they're operating the current government, isn't it?
I'm not going there. I don't talk politics. Okay, so we're going to stop here. We're in the Hebrew. We're 6 lines. What is that? 7 lines up. V'hine, between is Chachma. And it's the last paragraph on 493. Now the aspect of blessed divine Chachma, to be continued next time.